Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our topic right now is crime and punishment, or in our cases, the lack thereof. We're going to be talking right now with a regular guest, Bill Federer, who's written a new book. It's called Socialism, and it's a great book, and you can get more information at AmericanMinute.com, plus learn how to get the book. But right now, we're going to focus on one of the ancillaries related to socialism, and that is what we're seeing in the streets of America with the violence. And we're seeing burning and looting, and in some cases, even direct murder. Bill, welcome to the program. It's great to have you back on.
Hey, Jerry. Great to be with you.
It's good to do this live in the studio, too. So your book, Socialism, we've actually talked about it before, and we'll keep plugging it away. But one of the aspects of socialism is that kind of almost a prelude to a culture and a society, a government becoming socialistic, is the chaos and the anarchy that fills the streets, and then people cry out for the government, hey, government, take care of us. But let's focus on what's going on. I'm going to timestamp this. This is September 1 in the year of our Lord 2020 that you and I are discussing this. What is going on in the streets of America with all this crime, burning, looting, mayhem?
Right. So transitioning from a country where the people rule themselves to a power being concentrated into the hands of a dictator, it happens in times of insecurity and panic and crisis. So you go back to the beginning of history. The first invention ever was the plow, right? The Bible says Cain was a tiller of the soil. And then people started hitting each other with them. They turned into weapons. And then people felt insecure, and they gravitated together for protection, and they gave up some of their independence. And then they would have someone's a little better at knowing how to fight than the rest. And everyone says, you be our captain. And this person organizes them. They fight. They win. That's a good thing. But then this captain has kids and grandkids who claim to be a elite family, and it turns into this political machine. Before you know it, you got a gang leader. You got a king.
Dynasty.
And so this phenomenon that in times of insecurity, people will give up their freedoms. Now, philosophers have noticed that this is a natural occurring activity, but they've taken it another step to saying, let's create the problems. Let's capitalize on problems and blow them out of proportion. And so now you got Machiavelli, and 500 years ago, Italy wasn't Italy. It was a bunch of city-states. Machiavelli thought if one prince could control all of these city-states, it would stop the infighting. So he writes a book called The Prince, where he advocates the ends justifies the means. The end of one prince controlling Italy is such a good end because it'll stop the infighting. Any means necessary to get there is justified. Light, cheat, steal. And so if a prince conquers the city, they would hate him. But if he pays criminals to burn barns, kill cows, and create, and agitate.
To burn down the Reichstag.
Right. So you're jumping ahead. So here's 1920s. Germany's a republic, the Weimar Republic. And there's someone who starts a political party. The party's name is National Socialist Workers' Party. You probably are more familiar with the acronym Nazi. National Arbeiter, which means workers, Socialistisch, a socialistic party. And so Hitler's the head of it. And so Hitler has a violent group called the Brown Shirts. They're called Sturmabteilung, which means stormtroopers. And they would storm into the meetings of Hitler's political opponents and shot down the speaker, disrupt the meeting. Wow. And then they would lock arms and block access to buildings. Could you imagine people locking arms and blocking things?
Access to even highways, when there was a pregnant woman, needing to go to the hospital. That happened in California just a couple weeks ago from one of these recent riots.
And then these brown shirts would go into the city and smash the windows and loot and set on fire over 7,000 Jewish stores. It was called the Kristallnacht, Night of Broken Glass. And in this confusion, Hitler seizes power and consolidates this power. He accuses his opponent. It's called psychological projection. You accuse your opponent of what you're guilty of. He accuses his opponents, and he rounds them up and has them killed, shot without a trial. And everyone praises Hitler as restoring order. And before you know it, Germany's transitioned from a republic to a dictatorship. And so this model was studied after World War II. So World War II is now over, and Germany, France, England give independence to their former colonies, and they elect brand new leaders. It's a perfect world except for the Soviet Union deciding they want to take their communistic movement global. And so the Soviet, USSR, which stands for what? Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. So we got that word socialism in there again. They send their KGB agents into these brand new countries, Czechoslovakia and Romania and Bulgaria and Hungary and Poland, and they find groups of people with grievances, ethnically, religiously, economically, racially, and they organize them into
racially?
Haves and have-nots, into oppressors and victims, and then they organize protests and then riots, and then they escalate it into violence until they're smashing windows and setting buildings on fire, and then they co-opt the media with bribes and threats to blame the leader of these brand-new countries. And then they cultivate relationships with weak links in the military. And when the public gets confused and panicky enough, they do a coup or a rigged election, and they replace the leader with a Soviet puppet. And now this kept happening in country after country, and Harry S. Truman does nothing. He thinks his United Nations will bring world peace. And so the next president's Eisenhower, he decides...
By the way, here's an interesting irony. You said earlier that plows, which initially, of course, were for agriculture, were converted into weapons early on. And the Bible says that the day will come, you know, when the messianic reign of Jesus Christ on the whole world, when that happens, men will beat their swords into plowshares. And that verse from Isaiah is actually on one of the buildings related to the United Nations, as if that's a goal that one day will be achieved. But it'll be brought about by Jesus and Christianity, not brought about by secular humanists and their, you know, secular states.
Right. So socialism always has to get rid of God. Why? Because people that believe in God think they have rights from a source higher than the government.
Yeah.
And that the government's job is to protect their God-given rights. But if there is no God, then your rights come from the government. And what the government giveth, the government can take it the wayeth. And that's where Eisenhower said, in some countries, the state claims to be the author of human rights. If the state gives rights, it can and inevitably will take away those rights. And so here's Eisenhower. And the country of Iran decides to side with the Soviet Union. And they nationalize the oil industry in Iran. And you say, so what? Well, wait a second. Winston Churchill changes the British Navy from coal to oil. And Britain really doesn't have any oil, so in 1908, they formed the Anglo-Iranian Oil Company. And you know it better as BP. British Petroleum is really the Anglo-Iranian Oil Company. And so when Mossadegh, the leader of Iran, nationalizes it, Britain has no oil. And so they appeal to Eisenhower, who has his Secretary of State, John Foster Dulles, approve the first CIA operation to overthrow a country's leader. It's called Operation Ajax. And the
Operation
Ajax.
Ajax, okay.
And so the CIA operative on the ground is Kermit Roosevelt Jr., the grandson of Teddy Roosevelt.
Wow.
And he goes over to Tehran, and he does the same thing.
And he carried a big stick.
He recruits mobsters, gangsters, criminals, radical imams, and they stage protests and riots, and they attack mosques. And then they co-opt the media with bribes and threats to blame Mossadegh for all of these problems. And they cultivate relationships.
It's almost like a democracy is a fragile thing. Seriously, a people's republic, a genuine people's republic where the power is in the hands of the people. It's a fragile thing that thugs in the streets could possibly overrun. And remember Goebbels, Hitler's propaganda minister, said history is made in the street. I've never forgotten that quote. It's just so frightening.
Yeah, Goebbels also said that the media is like a great keyboard that the government can play, and to tell a lie often enough, then the people will come to believe it. And the bigger the lie, the easier it is. In other words, because you get this social pressure where people say, well, all these people can't be wrong about, you know, COVID or whatever. It's got to be right, you know. And so anyway, so here you have Mossadegh is blamed for all of these riots in the streets, and in the confusion, they put Mossadegh under house arrest, lock him away for the rest of his life where he dies, and then they install the Shah. And the Shah loved America because we basically put him in.
Reza Pahlavi.
And the CIA did the same thing in Guatemala, 1954, the Congo, 1960, the Dominican Republic, even Chile, 1973, and the KGB did the same thing. There's pictures of Brezhnev hugging Yasser Arafat and helping him to start the PLO.
It's like the whole world is like this big chessboard, and the United States and the USSR are opposing each other. Of course, we're the good guys and they're the bad guys.
Right. And then you have Brezhnev hugging Castro and helping him to take over Cuba, and then the Russians taking over countries, Latin, South America, Africa, and then the Chinese communists doing the same thing in the Far East. This is called the Cold War. And it's the basis for every spy novel, right? You go to some third world country and you run into the Russians, the KGB, and then you run into the CIA, and they're going to do an assassination. The only difference this time around is it's taking place on American soil. Here you have these tactics that have been perfected for 70 years on how to destabilize and change the leadership in a country. And so we do know that there are people in the Department of Justice, in the Secretary of State's office, in these government
departments
that do not like the President of the United States. And they have been trying to get rid of him by leaking stuff and so forth. And so what we're seeing is, has all the fingerprints of something that's orchestrated. I mean, you don't get pallets of bricks dropped off right where they're going to have a peaceful protest.
Yeah.
I've mentioned it, but I've spoken.
They don't even use bricks very often in constructing buildings these days, it seems.
Yeah, I was in Emporia, Kansas, and there was a pallet of bricks dropped off.
What is that near? Topeka? Kansas City?
Yeah, it's probably an hour or so from Topeka.
Okay.
In a relatively small town. Here, somebody dropped off a pallet of bricks right where they were going to have a peaceful protest. There was no construction going on in that entire area.
Oh, my goodness.
And then the same thing happened in Dallas.
Who did that, Bill?
Well, that's
who paid for those bricks?
Well, we know that the government knows because they put in the NSA that can track phone calls and text messages. And so they know exactly who it is, but they're not doing anything about it. So it appears that the same way that you have political parties. I was at a meeting a couple weeks ago with the Attorney General.
We have 2 minutes left.
Of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's Lieutenant Governor.
Forrest?
Yeah.
That guy, he's great.
Yes, and he was mentioning that several of the governors of Democrat-run states have been on a phone call where they agreed not to open up their state so that Trump couldn't have rallies. Because if they had rallies, then they could mobilize the base and possibly lose the election and they could get voted out. But here you have the strategizing on how to maintain political power, yet at the same time, it's shutting down businesses and hurting people's lives. And you think, would people really do that? I tell people, well, let's look at it for a second.
You know, we have only 1 minute left, but there is a link, isn't there, between the COVID-19 and the response to it and the riots in the streets. There is.
And I'm happy to talk about that.
Yeah.
But you think of it, here's a party in their platform is killing innocent babies.
Yeah.
What's voter fraud compared to that? I mean, what's rigging in a lot? Well, you know, that's like the ultimate of killing an innocent person. What's the rest of the party capable of doing? Anyway, that's just a thought to consider. Anyways, my new book is called Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. I go through all the history all the way from the beginning all the way up to now. And AmericanMinute.com is my website.
Yeah. Bill Federer, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for being with us. And let's keep up this conversation. We'll continue basically where we left off.
Sounds great.